Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may these few minutes spent together with our Bibles, the Word of the Living God, be a help and encouragement to each and all of us. The last time we met in this way, we were looking at Psalm 34, verse 6 of which says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles." We remarked that it doesn't say the Lord saved him from his troubles, but out of all his troubles. Now, this isn't just a verbal hair-splitting, and we said that perhaps another time we could look at this insistence in Scripture on being saved out of, rather than saved from. It is true that in verse 4 of Psalm 34, David could say, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." But fear is a sensation or imagination, and so often the thing we fear doesn't materialize, and so there's no substance in it, and therefore it is good to be delivered from such empty fears. But real trouble and affliction is a different matter, and has to be endured, and it is out of this that the Lord delivers. Verse 6 of Psalm 34 is confirmed by verse 17, which says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." And verse 19 runs, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So there is this emphasis on trouble and deliverance out of it. In addition to what the Lord Jesus had to say about tribulation in this world, that very practical man James was very sure that trials would certainly be the lot of the Christian. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1 of his epistle, he wrote, "My brethren, count it all joy when," not if you notice, "when ye fall into divers trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." And a little later on, in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth trial, because having been proved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." No doubt Job is the classic scriptural example of a man delivered out of terrible trouble, and we're told that when it was all over, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. But that was earthly material wealth, and as such, not to be compared with the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." But whilst we are down here, it is recorded in the book of Job that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. So it is inevitable, and it is foolish to shut our eyes to the variety of troubles there are. Let us make part of Psalm 107 our scripture reading, because it mentions four different sorts of trouble in which men cry to the Lord. He delivers them out of their distress, which leads to the repeated call by the psalmist, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." And so we turn to Psalm 107. The first three verses of this psalm record the Lord's goodness. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." And now we come in verse 4 to the first kind of trouble concerning wanderers in the wilderness. Verse 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, and so they cried. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And surely, when this is the case, the way is always right, because it is his way. And so we come in verse 8 to the first chorus of praise, and in verse 9 to the reason. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the reason? For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And now the second sort of trouble, which concerns rebels. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, they fell down, and there was none to help. So they cried. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. And so the second chorus of praise and the reason. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the reason? For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And the third sort of trouble? Fools. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. So they cry. Verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. And the chorus of praise, and this time an injunction. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the injunction, verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And then the fourth sort of trouble, this time not wanderers in the wilderness, but wanderers on the deep. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. And so they cry. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And the final chorus of praise and an injunction, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. You know, I'm often intrigued with that verses 23 and 24. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Our coward hearts shrink from these great waters. We prefer dabbling about in the shadows, and so we fail to see the works and wonders of our God. For these can only be seen and known in the deep. God's presence in trial is better than exemption from trial. The Lord's presence is never so sweet as in moments of difficulty. Look at the experience of Daniel's three compatriots. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar's image, which he set up, and everybody was called upon to worship as soon as the orchestra started up. And we read Daniel 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, we know the remainder of the story, that the Lord didn't deliver them from the burning fiery furnace, but he did deliver them out of it, and whilst they were in it, they were able to rejoice in the presence with them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning to the New Testament, we have the testimony of Paul writing his last letter to Timothy, his dearly beloved son, in the faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he wrote, But thou hast fully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. With all these and many more scriptural examples written for our learning, ought we not, through patience and through the encouragement of the scriptures, to take heart of grace and look forward to the blessed hope set before us.